have a Bible, I want you to go to Acts chapter 10. We're going to start there today. Remind you that tonight is our small groups. Everybody say small groups. We are better together. And don't forget, so tonight is our small groups at 6 o'clock. You don't want to miss that. If you're part of a group, they're counting on you being there. And so make sure that you're there at 6 o'clock. Now, Friday night, in your bulletin, there's this information about this little deal every year we do called the Wild Game and Steak Feast. And really what it is, a bunch of guys get around and they eat hot dogs and sing Kumbaya and stuff like that. No, really what it is, this is an awesome night for you to eat some steak or some wild game and things like that. And we have a great speaker, Brent Henderson, who is coming to share his testimony and some great awesome stuff. Now, this is for hunters and people who are not even outdoorsmen, all guys, sons, fathers, neighbors, things like that. So on your way out today, buy a ticket for yourself and for somebody else and give God a chance to move in somebody else's life. All right, so appreciate you doing that. And then there's other information in your bulletin. Please make sure that you read that. We don't have time to get through all of that. And so thank you very much for participating. Now, when these ushers come back, they're going to give you a brochure that looks like this. It's called Giving, Praying, Fasting. We hope to have that for you last week. It's a little bit of detailed instructions when it comes to the 12 weeks that we committed to last week in the area of giving, praying, and fasting. Now, as I shared, we had a great response to last Sunday's message or challenge when it comes to giving, praying, and fasting. Now, just a little bit of a reminder, what it is that we ask you to do in the area of giving, I shared with you earlier, everyone in the next 12 weeks given a full tithe to the church and given the equivalent of 1 week's salary toward the cost of the new sanctuary, okay? So above the tithe of what you typically give, instead of giving 10%, give 100%, the equivalent of 100% for 1 week, okay? And as we go along, by December 8th, we're believing that entire collage to be filled up, okay? Now, in the area of praying, we're asking everybody to pray at least 1 hour a week for the church concerning these things, and specifically to participate in one corporate hour of prayer. And so we have 5 prayer services in these 12 weeks. We have Tuesday morning, we have Wednesday night, we have Saturday morning, Friday night, and also on Sunday morning. A great turnout this week. Thank you for all those who are praying. Those details are in your bulletin as well. So join us for prayer. Jesus said, my house will be a house of prayer. And so let's pray together and seek the Lord together. In the area of fasting, what we're asking you to do is to fast one 24-hour period each week for these 12 weeks, September 15th through December 8th. And so the opportunity is for you to say, we're going to set aside some time each week specifically to abstain from food for a purpose of prayer and seeking the Lord. And so help us out by doing that. By the way, the most popular day chosen to fast was Monday. It's amazing. The least popular day to fast was Friday. You're exactly right. Nobody wants to fast the day on the first day of the weekend. I'm not sure what that's about. We did have a good number of you that did do that. So that means that there is somebody fasting the entire 82 days of this 12-week emphasis. You should give God praise for that. Isn't that awesome? And so thank you for doing that. Now, if you did not get the opportunity to fill this out last week, we're giving everybody a copy of this. At the end of the service, you can bring this to the front and say, hey, count me in on part of this. And then on the back, there's an opportunity for you to write specific prayer requests so that we can agree with you. When we come together in these corporate times of prayer, we're agreeing together with you about these things that you write down and that God would do miraculous things in these next 12 weeks. Am I in the right church? Now, last week we started in Acts chapter 10, and we learned about a guy named Cornelius that had a pretty good couple days, right? What happened to Cornelius? Well, he had a divine revelation. He had a vision from heaven. He had a divine visitation. An angel came to his house and talked to him, okay? Anybody have an angel talk to you this week? I'm looking, all right? Cornelius did. He had divine direction. Remember, the angel said, go to Joppa and see this guy. He's going to tell you exactly what you need to do. And he got household blessing. Every one of his family and friends were blessed. Household salvation. Every one of his family and friends were saved and got baptized on the same day. Amen. Pretty awesome stuff. house. He had an outpouring of God's Spirit. Everyone was filled with the Spirit, and he had divine favor. Remember, we saw basically the angel said, Cornelius, this is your lucky day, right? And so what are we doing in this season of giving, praying, fasting? We learned that, why did these things happen to Cornelius? Well, because verse 2 of chapter 10 says he prayed to God always. Verse 2 says he gave generously to the people. And then verse 30 says he was fasting till the ninth hour. So we learn that there are some keys to these things happening in your life. It's called, help me out. Okay, now, Jesus also commanded us in Matthew chapter 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, when you give, when you pray, and when you fast. By the way, in your bulletin, there's some notes for you to follow along, because there's a ton of scripture we're sharing with you here today. And so the point is that giving and praying and fasting are three very important critical elements when it comes to being in position for God to visit you. For God to do something awesome in your life. Some of you aren't convinced yet. So let's go back to Acts chapter 10, and we're going to look at verse 9. Okay? Remember part of the story. Now, by the way, if you missed last week's message, I want to highly, highly, highly encourage you to go online, download the app, go to YouTube, go to Vimeo, and watch it, because we set the tone for what we're talking about here today. Today's message title is called Open Heaven. Everybody say Open Heaven. So Acts chapter 10, verse 9, the next day as they went on their journey and they drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to do what? To pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very angry and, very hungry and wanted to eat. Sometimes when you get hungry, you get angry. Can I get a witness in the house of God? Right? That's why you need a Snickers so things will go well with you. I'm preaching good. All right. He became very hungry and wanted to eat, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened. So Peter's praying. This is right before he goes to Cornelius' house, before he ministers the gospel to them, before the Spirit's poured out, before they all get saved, before this entire, basically, revival happens at Cornelius' house. Peter is praying, and the Bible says the heavens do what? He saw heaven open. And then as a result of that, the heavens were opened over Cornelius' house. Now, let's talk about that this morning. What does that mean? What does it mean to have an open heaven? What did Peter experience? What did Cornelius experience? Well, let's do a real quick, simple study of the two words open heaven in the Bible. Now, remember, our goal here at church is we let Scripture interpret Scripture. And so we look at the rest of the Bible to help us understand what happened in Acts chapter 10. Okay. Let's start with Jesus. Let's talk about some people who experienced an open heaven. Jesus in Matthew 3, verse 16, the Bible says, when he had been baptized, he came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. So what did Jesus experience? He experienced an open heaven. And as a result, he had a divine visitation, right? Angels were ascending and descending. And he also had a spirit outpouring because the Spirit of God descended upon him. Everybody get this? Jesus had an open heaven. The Spirit of God comes upon him and he has a divine visitation. In Genesis chapter 28, we see Jacob also experiences an open heaven. In verse 12, Jacob is at Bethel. The Bible says he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Now, how many know if there's a ladder between you and heaven, the heavens are open? You getting this? And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south, and in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. Okay, so Jacob has this experience of a ladder reaching to heaven, so the heavens are open. What did Jacob experience? A divine visitation. Angels ascending and descending down that ladder to visit him. This is pretty cool stuff. He experienced divine direction. The angel says, the land on which you're lying, that's going to be your land. This is your future. He's telling him about the future. He experiences household blessing. He says, your descendants are going to be what? They're going to be blessed and divine favor. He says, I'm going to be with you wherever you go. This open heaven thing is looking pretty good so far, right? Ezekiel, in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1, Ezekiel's a prophet in the Old Testament. He says, I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. On the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of the king Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzzy. No relation to Ruth. In the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was upon him there. The Bible says Ezekiel experiences an open heaven. You see this? What happened to Ezekiel? Divine revelation. He saw visions from God. Are you getting this? He had divine direction. The word of the Lord came to him. He also experienced divine favor. The Bible says the hand of the Lord was with him. Nod your head if you're with me. How about Stephen in the New Testament? In Acts chapter 7, verse 56, remember Stephen is one of the first deacons that's appointed in the book of Acts. And Stephen, the Bible says in verse 56, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God. And Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, look, I see the heavens. Are you seeing a pattern here? I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Now, what did Stephen experience when the heavens were open to him? Do you see this? He had divine revelation. He saw the glory of God. He saw what was going on in heaven. He saw with his spiritual eyes what his physical eyes could not see. He saw things that other people couldn't see. Come on, somebody. Divine revelation. And then there's John in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 11. How many have ever read the book of Revelation? Chapter 19, verse 11, John says, now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself, and it goes on to say at the end, his name was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Okay, so John sees the heavens opened, and what did he experience? He experienced divine revelation. Matter of fact, there's so much divine revelation, the book is called the Book of Revelation, okay, because he saw the heavens opened, and he saw Jesus in a way that no one had ever seen Jesus before. Remember, he walked with Jesus. He talked with Jesus. He was there at the baptism. He was there at the crucifixion. He saw Jesus resurrected, but he didn't see Jesus like this. King of Kings, Lord of Lords, robes dipped in blood. Oh, I never seen Jesus like that. How many would like to see Jesus in a different way? A way like that. That's what happens when the heavens open. Now watch this, watch this, watch this. And Peter and Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, both of them experience an open heaven as well. So watch this, from the Bible, this is not from Pastor Wayne. Give me all your attention. We're gonna make it all come together right here. To me, this is one of the most exciting things I've preached in years. I'm just saying. From the Bible, not from a book, not from somebody's idea, not from a theory, from the Bible, we learn what we experience when we have an open heaven. Watch this, divine revelation. Visions, dreams. Ezekiel experienced this, Stephen experienced this, Peter and John did. We also experienced divine direction, wisdom about the future, about what to do, about what to say. Peter, Cornelius, Jacob, and John, all these examples we showed, all experienced divine direction. Anybody want to know what's going to happen to you in the future? Three of you. The rest of you, you're just content. Three blind mice, see how they run. How many would like to have some divine direction in your life? By the way, I was praying through some of these prayer requests this week for the people who turned in these cards, and I was very encouraged by the number of high school juniors and seniors that are participating in this time of giving, praying, and fasting, and many of them marked, hey, I need direction from the Lord about my future. Would you give God some praise for some young adults who say, you know what, I'd like to know what God's will is for my life. Now, here's what else happens when you have an open heaven. There's a divine visitation. Angels visit you. That's what happened to Jacob. Angels ascending and descending up that ladder. That's what happened to Peter. And that's what happened to Cornelius, an angel, a divine visitation. They also experience household blessing. It doesn't just bless you, it blesses your entire house. Jacob experienced this, right? He says, your seed's gonna be blessed. Cornelius experienced this. All his friends and family were saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, and blessed, right? So what else happens under an open heaven? From the Bible, we learn household salvation can happen under an open heaven. That's what happened to Cornelius. Every one of his family members, every one of his friends that he called together that day got baptized and gave their lives to Jesus. Why? Because the heavens were opened. And then there was, when the heavens opened, we can expect to experience an outpouring of God's Spirit. When Jesus was baptized, the Bible says the heavens were open and the Spirit descended upon him. That's a picture of what we need. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, how much more do we need the Holy Spirit in the day that we live? Somebody say amen. And that's what happened to Cornelius. Every one of his family was filled with the Holy Spirit. And lastly, when we're under an open heaven, we experience divine favor. Everybody say favor. Look, how do you define favor? Well, let's define it the way the Bible defined it for Jacob. God is with you. Let's define it the way God defined it for Ezekiel. The Lord is with you. Come on, somebody. That's the favor of God. God is with me. God is at my house. God is on my life. God is on my family. God's blessing is upon me. That's called favor of the Lord. So we're talking about the fact that your testimony is the Lord is with you. If we say the divine favor of God is at Grace Assembly of God, we're saying the Lord is with that church. The Lord is in that house. The Lord is at your house. The Lord is in this place. Are you getting that? Now watch this. This is what happens when the heavens are opened. This is what we're praying for. This is what we're asking God to do here in this body and at your house over these next 12 weeks. Are you with me? This is what we're believing God to happen in your life. If you haven't written these things down, or you should be writing them down, because this is what we're believing God to take place in this house in these next 12 weeks. So let me make it even simpler. Because Jesus defines an open heaven in John chapter 1, verse 51. He makes it simple. And since we're simple folks, he speaks simply to us. Here's what he says in verse 51. He's speaking to Nathanael, and watch this. He says to him, most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven. Come on, say it, heaven. Heaven open, you're gonna see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now this is Jesus. Jesus says, Nathanael, you're gonna see heaven open, and here's how you're gonna know the heavens are open. Because when the heavens are open, angels are gonna start ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Are you getting this? Are you hanging with me? Right? Isn't that what happened to Jacob in the book of Genesis? You know, the ladder reaches to heaven. Angels are descending and ascending back and forth to heaven. So watch this. By definition, by biblical definition, an open heaven is a free flow of angelic and heavenly messengers and visitors. Are you getting this? An open heaven is when there is no hindrance to the messengers of God, the Spirit of God, the power of God going back and forth upon your life, upon your house, and upon this church. Okay, I just went through the whole Bible and built this case for you. Nod your head if you're with me. That's what an open heaven is. When angels, the Spirit of God, has free flow to come and go in your life. You get this? Now you say, okay, so why is that important? Why is that a big deal, this whole angel thing? Well, because Scripture interprets Scripture. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Okay, now watch this. The Bible paints a picture, a very real picture, that in the heavenlies, there's a war going on. Okay, and there are principalities and powers and demons that are working against the people of God, working against the church of Jesus Christ, trying to steal and kill and destroy, right? Now, if there's such a thing as an open heaven, then that means there is such a thing as a closed heaven. In the book of Deuteronomy, God says that in verse 3, that the sky over your head will be bronze. Okay, and so that had to do with their disobedience to the Lord and following his commands. And so there's such a thing as a closed heaven. You guys, some of us have been there. We feel like we're praying, boom, it's coming right back down. You're like, nobody's hearing me. God's not getting through. I don't hear any answer, nothing like that. I mean, don't raise your hand if you experienced that. I think a lot of us have. Now, here's the deal. What hinders God's answers? What hinders angels descending and ascending upon us? Now, we see a powerful picture of this in the book of Daniel. Now, look at this. If you haven't paid attention yet, come on, give me your attention here. This is powerful stuff. Daniel chapter 10, verse 2. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. How long is 3 full weeks? Come on, that's an easy question. It's not a trick question. 21 days. I ate no pleasant food. No meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Guess what he was doing? He was doing a what we call a Daniel fast. Where'd that come from? From Daniel. Amazing. Now on the 24th day of the first month, watch this, this is after the fast was over, as I was by the side of the great river, that is, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen. The fast is over. Daniel has a vision of a man from heaven. A divine visitation. Are you getting this? Keep going in verse 12. He said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. When did the angel say Daniel's prayer was heard? Day one. First day. All right, how many know it takes faith to pray and believe that God has answered, right? Now the angel says, the very first day you prayed, we heard you up in heaven, and God sent an answer. And I have come because of your words. Right? Praying. I have come because you prayed. I have come because you ask. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what happened to your people in the last days. Now, this account from the book of Daniel illustrates how the heavenlies work. How the heavens work. How the heavens operate. Now remember, we can't see it with our natural eyes. If we did, all of us need to read some Frank Peretti novels and just get a reminder of there's some stuff going on in the heavenlies, in the atmosphere right now. Daniel was praying and fasting. He was seeking the Lord. And the angel said, the moment you prayed, I was sent from heaven. This is powerful. The moment you prayed, God said, boom, go. Angel, go with the answer to Daniel's prayer. Go from the moment he prayed. And the angel says, but there was a principality. There was a regional spirit, a demon, if you will, that hindered me. And I just now got to you. I left heaven on day one. But on the way, there were some hindrances. There was some stuff. There was some static there were some things that were hindering me. And how long did he hinder? 21 days. Powerful. Now, why is this important? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. The Bible says his intent was that now, through the church, I'm covering a lot of ground here real fast. So this is revelation. If you get, you're going to leave grinning from ear to ear. Okay? His intent was that now. Everybody say now. When is now? Oh, you're smart. It's now. Now through the church. Who's the church? If you're a follower of Jesus, you're the church. We're the church. Through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to whom? The rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realm. God says, this is how it works now. It is your job, church, to make known the rules of the principalities and powers of the air. Through the church. Through the church, through you, it is on you now to conduct this spiritual warfare. Because later on, Paul goes to Ephesians 6 and says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Put on the whole armor of God. Right? And so, let me make it real simple, and then we're about to pray. There are principalities and powers from Satan in the heavenly realms. We know this. There are principalities and powers from Satan in the heavens, and guess what they are doing? They are opposing the angels of God. They are opposing the messengers from heaven, and they are hindering the ministering spirits of God. Why doesn't the answer come? I don't understand. I've been praying about this for such a long time. Why is this taking so long, God? To hear me, to answer. Why are the heavens closed? Why does the heaven seem like brass to me? We had these doors put on here to illustrate what kind of happens. You know, imagine, and this is a nice guitar. I don't want to hurt this guitar. Please, Jesus, thank you so much. All right. Imagine, okay, I'm on this side. Okay, this side is us. On the other side is the heavenlies. Okay, so imagine we're praying. Okay, God, give me divine direction, okay, about the future and all this kind of stuff. Okay, pray. When is the answer released from heaven? When I pray in Jesus' name, the Bible says we have confidence that he hears us and he answers, right? And so guess what? Immediately, I'm coming from heaven. Now I'm an angel, right? Some of you aren't surprised. I'm an angel. Okay. So now, on the other side of the doors, this is the heavenly realm. Are you with me? Heavenly realm over here. I'm the angel. And guess what? I'm ready to answer your prayer. I am ready to give you what you ask of God. But there's a hindrance. Are you getting this? There's a hindrance between the heavenlies and the natural. There's a wall, there's a resistance, there's stuff going on back here. There's all kinds of stuff, you know, going on. And there's you know, and fights and, you know, and stuff like, you know, and things. You know, there's just kind of stuff going on back here. We don't even know. We hear some disturbances, everyone. What's going on? There's some stuff going on. Guess what? The Bible says, there are some things that you and I can do to open the door to the heavenlies. It's called an open heaven. Not a closed heaven, an open heaven. And one of those is fasting and praying and giving. And when I open the door, boom! Here comes the answer. You get that? This is how it works. We're going to get to heaven, and God's going to have three doors just like that in heaven. See, that's just how it works. Just open the door. How do you open the door? How do you open the heavens? How do you experience what all of these people we talked about earlier, how do they experience? Here's the divine revelation. Are you ready? Giving, praying, and fasting. Now, I don't begin to understand all of this. I just know this is what the Bible says. In the area of giving, the scripture says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will do what? Open the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that you can't even contain it. Something spectacular happens when you give. Something supernatural happens when you give. You open the windows of heaven and what was before was being held back from you. All of a sudden, it starts coming your way. It starts finding you. There's a free flow of angels and ministering spirits that comes to minister to you. I wish I was in the right church today. What about praying? What was Peter doing when the heavens opened? What was Daniel doing when the angel came to visit him? He says in Daniel chapter 10, verse 12, I have come because of your words. And the heavens were opened because of your words, praying. There's a reason Jesus said this house shall be a house of prayer, because if you pray, you open the door and God's answers come and God's power comes and God's anointing comes. What about the door of fasting? What was Daniel doing when the angel came to him? He was fasting for 21 days. And the angel broke through. And when he had help from heaven, there's some angels on the other side of those doors saying, we can't get to you. We need your help. Come on. Praying's not just enough, apparently. Praying is not enough, apparently. Praying is part of it. He come because of your words. The answer comes because of your words. God says you don't have because you don't ask. The answer's not even coming because you never asked. Daniel says, the moment you ask. The angel says to Daniel, the moment you ask, I came. I'm Johnny on the spot. Here I come. But the angel's saying to Daniel, Vernon, if you could help me, the angel's saying, but there was some resistance going on and I needed your help. And the fasting is what helped me break through. Are you getting this? I share with you a statement from a pastor last week from Nigeria, who says this: giving plus fasting plus prayer equals angelic manifestation, miracles, signs, and wonders. Do you want an open heaven in your life, at your house, and in this church?
Yeah!
Of course we do! I'm tired of striving and effort and plotting and going and I don't understand. When's the answer coming? So God says, hey, there's some keys, there's some doors, there's some stuff that you can do to help this process along. It's called giving. Now, some of you are saying, okay, Pastor, I'm going to sign up now. I'm going to put my name on the dotted line now, because God has given you some revelation here this morning that this is important. There's a spiritual war going on in the heavenlies. We can't see it with our eyes, but it's happening. And you know what? It's happening with your kids. It's happening with your grandkids. It's happening at your house. It's happening where you work. It's happening where you go and minister and serve. It's happening right now. So we say, Lord, open the windows of heaven. Open the floodgates of heaven. Open every one of these doors and let it rain. So this morning, our first response is, by the way, if you say, okay, I want to be part of this, then I want you to fill this out and you're going to leave it at the altar here today. Some of you did this last week. Some more of you are going to do it here today. Count me in. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to try. I'm going to start taking steps. But today, we're going to begin with the ask. It begins with the prayer. The angel said to Daniel, the moment you ask, when your words are spoken, the answer was released from heaven. If you're here today, you say, Pastor, feels like the heavens are brass sometimes. Some of you are here today and you say, my sons and daughters aren't serving God. Some people in this place today, you're bound up by hurts and hang-ups and wounds. Feels like you're in chains. The enemy is hindering you. Things aren't working out the way you had hoped. Your prayer is today, God, open the heavens. Open the heavens. If that's your prayer here today, would you stand in this place? If that's your prayer, God, I want an open heaven over my life. God, I want an open heaven over my house. Lord, I want an open heaven in this church. Is that your prayer today? You shouldn't be standing because everybody else is standing, because we're about to ask. And if we believe the Bible, as soon as we ask, God says, go, angels. Go, Holy Spirit. Go, 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 go. And over these next 12 weeks, as we give and pray and fast, these doors are going to begin to open, and every one of those answers is going to find you. If you're here today and you say, you know what, Pastor, there's some stuff going on in my life. The heavens are brass. It's just things aren't working out the way I thought. Maybe you don't even know Christ. You're not walking with Jesus. Or perhaps you're here, you say, hey, there's spiritual battles going on in my life. There's warfare going on. I recognize it. I need victory in my life. I need the heavens open my house. Come right now. Come on. Come right now. Come right now. Come right now. Come on. Come right now. Come quickly and come asking. Come asking God, open the heavens over my life. Come on. I need deliverance. I need freedom. I need restoration. I need strength from the Lord. I need angels come to minister to my soul. I need restoration from the Lord. Amen. Amen. You come and let's pray. Everyone else, lift your hands to heaven and begin to ask God for the heavens to be opened over your life, over your house, over your children, over your children's children, over your ministry, over your job, the place where you work, over your neighborhood. Come on. Open the windows of heaven. Open the floodgates of heaven. Open the windows of heaven, God. Let your spirit be poured out. God's looking for some people who will ask him and say, God, I believe your word. I believe that you're going to open the windows of heaven and you're going to pour out your spirit to save my entire house, just like Cornelius's house, just like Jacob, just like Stephen, all those folks. God, divine revelation by the Holy Spirit. Lift up your hands to heaven. Cry out to God. Open the windows of heaven and let it rain. Sing it to the Lord. Open the windows of heaven. Some of our prayer leaders, come and help us pray this morning. Lord, open the windows. Open, God. Open the windows of heaven. Let it rain, oh God. Let it rain. Let your spirit come down, Lord.
Won't you open the windows of heaven?
God, fill us with your spirit. God, give us a divine visitation. God, the heavens are brass. We pray that you would break them open by the blood of your spirit. In the name of Jesus, let the heavens be open. Supernatural blessings and strength from the Lord. Wrap your arms around us, angels of God, and minister strength and courage by the Holy Spirit. God, make a way where there is no way. Lord, the enemy wants to steal and kill and destroy. He's hindering. But God, we pray for victory and breakthrough by the blood of Jesus today. In the name of Jesus Christ, your power, your will, your strength, God, make an opening in heaven, God. Make an opening in heaven this morning, God. In the name of Jesus, let the will of God be accomplished. Let the mercy of God surround and strengthen by your spirit. Break everything working against us, Lord, by your spirit. In the name of Jesus, God, move sovereignly today. Move sovereignly today, Lord. In the name of Jesus, let your spirit be poured out. Let your power be poured out. Let your anointing come, Lord, in a supernatural way.
Open the windows.
Thank you, oh God.
Of heaven.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let it rain.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let it rain.
Hallelujah.
Divine revelation.
Let revelation come. Come on, church, pray. God, open the windows of heaven. Let divine revelation come about
divine
the future.
Faith.
Give us a vision from heaven in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for the favor of the Lord to be upon us, our sons and daughters, our grandsons and granddaughters. Let the favor of the Lord rest upon us. Lift up your voice, church. God, we pray for household salvation today. Lord, we pray for the souls of every person that we love, our friends, our family, our neighbors. God, draw them to Jesus through us before it's too late. God, we ask you for their soul to be saved, Lord. We pray for direction from the Lord concerning the future. Divine direction, God. Show us what the steps are, God. Show us what the next step is, God. Show us what the future holds for us, Lord. God, pour out your Spirit. Let there be an outpouring of the Spirit of God. Just like on Jesus, the Spirit descended from heaven upon him. Just like on Cornelius, God, they were all filled with the Spirit. Let it happen in our houses, God. Let it happen in this house today. In the name of Jesus, open the windows of heaven. Let it be Jesus. Let it be Jesus. Let it rain, oh God. Let it rain, Lord Jesus. Let it rain, Lord Jesus.
Won't you open the windows?
Let it be, oh God. Jesus.
Let it rain.
Hallelujah.
Let it rain.
Let it rain, Jesus.
Oh, just open. Spirit, oh God, divine revelation, oh Lord, visitation, oh Lord, salvation, Lord, in the house, open the windows,
open the windows of heaven,
pour it out,
open the windows of heaven, God,
pour it out,
open the windows of heaven, Lord,
pour it out,
open the windows of heaven. Let it be, Jesus.
Let it rain.
Thank you, God.
Let it rain.
God bless you. Thank you, God.
Pour it out.
Thank you, Jesus. Those of you that have come to pray, I just want to encourage you to continue to seek the Lord as long as you need to. You just continue to seek the Lord as long as you need to. We need to transition for the next service, so everyone else leave reverently and quietly. If you're committing to giving and praying and fasting, bring this to the front and leave it in the altar area. Make sure you're part of your small group tonight. God bless you. Buy a ticket to the wild game feast. Have a wonderful day in Jesus.